capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Hello and welcome to Level Talk Programme. Early in the morning of the 9th of November 2016, Hillary Clinton reluctantly phoned Donald Trump and, suppressing the anger that touched every nerve in her body, said two words: congratulations, Donald. She had fought a long battle against Bernie Sanders, against Trump, against her email personal server crisis, against the Podesta WikiLeaks scandal, against her health, against John Comey's last-minute legal challenges, and finally, against a sex tweet by her campaign close advisor Huma Abedin. Over the biggest challenge which she faced, and perhaps to this day does not fully realize the importance of, was a challenge of facing up to the fact that American politics had changed through the explosion of Brexit-style popularization tactics, and that her campaign was built on the traditional election techniques which were suddenly out of date. The scapegoats that she perhaps used were many, but the Russians stand out as number one. The Russians, of course, is the nasty people who engineered Trump's victory. But is this really the case? To discuss these issues, I'm very pleased to welcome to the program Art Franchek, the president of the American Institute of Business and Economics in Moscow, and Dr. Tahria McCormack, lecturer in politics and international relations at the University of Leicester. Welcome both of you to the program.
Yes, hi, John. There.
Okay, so let's start with the topic. The US election, it's still being talked about, isn't it, in the States, as the Democrats try to come to terms with their defeat still. And Hillary Clinton has been blamed it on multiple factors. But let's concentrate on her election campaign. Why did Hillary have trouble in drumming up the support that she felt was naturally hers? Tahria, would you like to kick off, please?
The election was really interesting in that basically the two most likely candidates were those who came from outside of the established parties. Donald Trump, as we know, the GOP was, you know, horrified by his ascendancy, and also Bernie Sanders, the outsider, you know, an independent socialist who kind of becomes a Democrat at the last minute. And that's the real kind of tale of that election. Now, one of the kind of very frustrating things about the way it's being read back almost is that here we have a kind of unexpected loss of Hillary Clinton. But actually, it was actually pretty clear throughout the campaign. If one followed the polls, for example, you know, they were going up and down with various things, Trump's sexist comments, email revelations, etc. But the polls, the sort of poll of polls, if you know what I mean, how the pollsters work out, were actually consistently quite close. And here was the astonishing thing, that Hillary Clinton, you know, one of the most established politicians, big hit backstory, big history, etc., in American politics, was not kind of romping home, leaving this kind of upstart, you know, who comes across pretty badly in many ways, Trump. So the kind of consistent argument seems to be that Hillary Clinton, simply, she failed to engage with many American voters. And more to the point, she really represented continuity in a country that really wanted change. I was just going to say, one of the things that's sort of often forgotten is that Obama represented a kind of change. He was the change candidate.
Yeah.
So he answered.
Okay, thank you.
To understand why she lost in 2016, you have to look at why she lost in 2008, okay? And why did she lose? Obama essentially beat her over the head with her vote on the Iraq War, okay? Hillary was a dyed-in-the-wool neocon. She's a very aggressive anti-Russia, anti-Syria, anti-Libya. Her proudest achievement in the as Secretary of State was getting rid of Gaddafi, which Obama claimed was his worst involvement. So Hillary has a naturally a very chin ear for politics. And this is ironic given the fact that she's married to one of the premier politicians of the age, Bill Clinton,
yeah,
who is just an artist at politics. Hillary, almost 40 years ago, they asked her in an interview, her and Bill were having trouble, and she made a comment, well, I could have stayed home and made cookies and stood by my man like Tammy Wynette. Okay. and that basically says what her attitude was toward the working man and African Americans.
You're talking about then this sort of royalty aspect, aren't we? She expected to win because she is part of the establishment and Secretary of State.
She deserves to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she deserves to win.
Yeah, okay.
Watched your Saturday Night Live in 2008. She was shown on there as the presumptive president.
Yeah, presumptive president.
You know, Obama never had a chance.
Tara,
go ahead.
I'm fascinated by the way that her campaign was organized. And we have this sort of conflict going on between the campaign president, Minion Moore, and the old school people like ex-president Bill Clinton that I'm just talking about. And the former, you know, relying on sort of high-tech use of statistics to decide where Hillary should go. And people like Bill saying, well, just get out there and talk to the real people, you know, go round the factories, go to where people live, not necessarily the big high delegate number towns. And she seemed to have...
You read that in Shattered, and Bill was...
Tara, I mean, like, is this a factor as well?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems. I think one of the issues, and Shattered, I really recommend it.
Yeah.
I think we've all read it or reading it.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting book. I mean, I think one of the problems was that Hillary Clinton, exactly as Art says, simply assumed, I think Doug Henwood, the American Left commentator, wrote a rather scathing book about Hillary called It's My Turn, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was almost the assumption. You know, it's my turn.
Yeah.
You know, so there was an assumption that actually, in many areas, Hillary didn't really have to go out and do the legwork. So in Shattered, you have some really interesting quotes, or, you know, from Bill Clinton even saying, like, well, why aren't you just getting out there?
Yeah.
In, you know, rural Ohio or wherever, you know, so you definitely had an assumption that it's in the, for Hillary, it's in the bag.
Yeah.
And yet,
when Hillary Clinton ran for Daniel Moynihan's seat in 2000 and met with people throughout the whole state of New York, she proved to be an effective campaigner and won by a landslide. So, I mean, she knew what she had to do, and New York was a very tough state. She was a carpetbagger. Just moved in there.
But there was no shortage of money, was there? There was no shortage of money in her campaign.
Well, there was no shortage
she could
of
have
money,
she could have really done a lot more than she did, but she chose not to, as Tara was just saying, for reasons that she felt she didn't need to, because she was, after all, you know, the elect president, you know, the president to be.
She was the first lady, okay, and she was running for a prominent U.S. senator seat, which was clearly going to be the stepping stone to a presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which she may well have won in 2004. They asked her to run in 2004, okay, instead of John Kerry, who was a very fine fellow, but took his advantages and turned them into disadvantages.
At the same time, we have Donald Trump with a much smaller campaign staff, actually less money available, and, of course, Bernie Sanders with far less money. But, okay, Tara, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just seems to put it in slightly more general terms that Hillary Clinton very much misunderstood the desire, I guess, for kind of change. And the problem was that she was the ultimate establishment candidate.
Yeah.
You know, and just a rerun of the same old thing. So hence you do see, you know, someone like Bernie Sanders with far less money. But quite early on, well, as we know, the Democrat Party were terrified because it really seemed that Bernie would, you know, win.
Yeah.
So over Clinton. So we really, you know, so the whole, it seems to me like a basic mistake of misreading the, I guess, the desire for change. And don't forget, Trump may have had quite a lot of free media, but the entire, virtually the entire political and media establishment was pro-Hillary.
Right.
So, you know, that was this argument, I think, supporters have just set up Barrett.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the kind of push for Clinton was absolutely astonishing. And
Thank you, Art.
What you have to remember, politics is emotional. It's not logical. I was at Valdai last year before the election, and they all concluded that Hillary was going to win because their analysis showed so. But they forgot the emotion of Brexit, the emotion of the Rust Belt states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these people who were told they lost their job because of NAFTA or China or Mexico. This is where the emotion comes in, and this is what Donald Trump tapped into.
Yep. Very good. Now, we're going to take a break just in a minute. I have one final question before we do that, and I'd like to move on to another theme. And that is the question of President Obama at the time. You know, why did he endorse Hillary? I mean, he must have known her character and the way she does politics. Now, was it a grand deal when Hillary last time? He got at her support by making sure that she was looked after, she got a good job, and so on and so on. So why did Obama back Hillary right at the beginning is a question perhaps nobody asks. Just very quickly, both of you, if anybody would like to answer that.
To have continuity. Continue his immigration policies, to continue his Iran deal, to continue his trade deals, even though Hillary openly said she was opposed to it.
Yeah.
The word was that she was going to continue TPP.
Thank you.
TIPP.
So he had no choice. Obama had to do what he did, although I'm a little bit surprised he didn't back someone like Joe Biden, but never mind.
He didn't do it until Joe Biden was out.
Okay, yeah, he lost the nomination. That's okay, right. Let's take a break here.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Welcome back to Level Talk Program. Today we're talking post-factum about Hillary Clinton's defeat in the 2016 US elections to Donald Trump and trying to work out what the actual reasons for her defeat really were. I'm talking to Art Fransek, the president of the American Institute of Business and Economics in Moscow, and Dr. Tara McCormack, lecturer in politics and international relations at the University of Leicester. Now, in October 2016, the US intelligence community dropped a political bomb by saying that the Russians were behind cyber attacks on the Democratic National Committee, or DNC. This was 3 months after the DNC WikiLeaks scandal. Now, how can we interpret these events now after some time has passed? Art, I know you have a thesis on this subject, but before we get on to your thesis, Tara, I'd like to bring you in, please. Now, what is your impression, please? Why did the Russians come to be in the picture in the first place? What happened?
Right. So what we know is that John Podesta's assistant, incorrectly answered a phishing email. And apparently it was all a mistake. You know, one word was wrong anyway. So that's what we know. And then the emails were released to WikiLeaks. The rest we know is history now. So we've got to be a bit more precise because the election. This is the crux of the accusation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there are huge problems when it comes to attribution. This is a key problem that dogs all sorts of cybersecurity, cyber war issues. We do not know who the hackers were. Now, it could well be groups linked to Russian secret services, but you know we know that we are Britain, America, Russia, China, and Iran are all engaged in massive cyber operations.
Yeah.
Israel, of course, we know. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, and this is a whole other problem that's worth discussing because it's not very much discussed.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's going on. Now, the key point is, did it sway the election? You know, I guess that's the kind of big ticket question, I would argue it didn't particularly sway the election. It had an effect, but so too did Trump's, you know, sexist comments. And we saw, as I was saying earlier, very much polls kind of going up and down. Now, and let's remember, the emails that were released didn't reveal anything that wasn't already thought or known.
Well, let me say this, John, that one, that you've got a New York, you've got a Washington Post article early this year that basically accuses Vladimir Putin of directly ordering the hacking of the U.S. elections. Now, when you examine it...
Let's stick to the fact the election. Did this... Tara said a very interesting point, that this didn't really affect the result of the election.
It didn't affect the elections because it had a minimal effect, and they acknowledged that, if at all, if there was Russian hacking, because the primary reason Hillary lost was because of a low African-American turnout.
Yeah.
By the tune of around 5 million votes. Okay. You had 67% of African Americans vote in 2012 and 59% vote in 2016. And they stayed home.
Yeah.
And what did Donald Trump do? Kellyanne Conway facilitated that by downplaying and asking American, persuading the African Americans to stay home. And after the election, you can YouTube it. You see Donald Trump thanking the African American voters for staying home and not voting so that he could win.
Okay.
You could YouTube it.
Yeah. And
go ahead, Tara.
And can I just say, this actually goes back to, I think what we were both saying at the start. It was, you know, the complacency of the Hillary campaign. So, okay, the African American voters are in the bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just assuming that, okay, she has that block, which obviously I don't.
Wisconsin was in the bag and they refused to go there.
Okay. As an outsider, I'm the outsider here. It always seems to me that elections are a time when dirty tricks are played. You know, I mean, looking back in perhaps my uninformed way, although I have just read the book Shattered, which readers, you've got to read, okay? Is it not possible that playing the Russian card was simply just another dirty trick from the dirty tricks box?
I mean, yeah, personally, it was tried a little bit in the UK after the Brexit.
Yeah.
A couple of MPs said, oh, this must be, the was just so obviously ridiculous.
With Jeremy Hunt.
And it just couldn't, you know, political culture is, yeah, well, it was actually Ben Bradshaw, one of
Ben
the
Labour Bradshaw. MPs, sorry,
made
Ben
a
Bradshaw.
Of a
yep.
crusade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was so ridiculous. My only point is, it was just obviously so ridiculous that it's never really caught on. And we also have had lots of, we had a discussion, you know, Russia was trying to influence German, but in fact, the German Secret Service has said, you know, nope.
No, right.
So, the point is...
Well, the French...
extraordinarily... Yeah, no, and the French, exactly, we had all these kind of discussions, exactly right, that Russia is trying to, you know, influence the French elections in favour of Fillon against Macron, and again... You know, a month later, when no one's reading it, of course, the headline's saying no, absolutely no evidence whatsoever. But the point is, yeah, I think what's gone on is you have this extraordinary refusal to engage with domestic politics on behalf of the Democratic Party and a lot of liberal establishment. And it's almost like kind of burning down the Reichstag, you know what I mean? They would prefer to take the absolutely unprecedented claim that the president of the most powerful superpower that the world has ever seen is basically a Manchurian candidate put there by Vladimir Putin. I mean, the short-sightedness of this, because what it is, it's a strategy of evasion that works by actually destroying American democracy.
Yeah.
So you're saying to the American people, this is all a load of hot air. You know, nothing matters. Your votes don't matter. It's Putin sitting there pulling the strings. And to me, that is the most shocking kind of abandonment of abdication of any kind of political responsibility. To take that path seems to me absolutely poisonous for America.
Thank you.
Really.
Now, I think we've all established Hillary Clinton lost the election because she wasn't a good candidate. The Russian card was played, but it wasn't decisive. The fact is that Hillary Clinton was a bad candidate. She ran a bad campaign. Now, if we can move on to our final theme, please, we've only got 3 or 4 minutes left. I'd like to talk about the influence of using the Russian card. Well, there were two, weren't there? The big ones that she blamed that on was the Russians, of course, and John Comey. The influence of that, the resonance, the effect of her decision to create these, well, I can call them scapegoats, on American politics since then. Art, please.
Well, what you've got going on is the Russian card has been used and is being used by American politicians to demonize Russia. 99% of the congressmen voted in favor of the sanctions bill. You go to C-SPAN, go to MSNBC, go to CNN, what you see when they talk about Russia, and they're doing this every day, that Russia violated our democracy. We have to punish them. And they're not talking about how gerrymandering and vote suppression violate American democracy, much greater than Russia does. Okay,
but it started then, didn't it? It started in November.
It is sad because voter suppression and gerrymandering are the two key tools manipulating the election because the white voters are afraid that they're going to be a minority by 2030.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
point.
And
that's what's happening now. Mm-hmm. In 35 states.
Tara, do you also feel that the Russians are being used as sort of, I don't know, a way out, you know, of the sort of internal domestic American political scene?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, Art makes some really good, you know, just brilliant points. So the, you know, here we go. Clinton lost the election because she was a bad candidate. She was the establishment candidate. And she also lost the election as well, for simple reasons. Failure of voters to turn out, you know, gerrymandering, etc. You know, no mystery there. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
These are all very
straight. It's very clear.
They might not be.
We had Kellyanne Conway had a strategy to repress the African-American vote in key states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. In addition to encourage the white angry voters to come out more. And this is what a booking study demonstrates. And that's your real causes for Hillary losing the election. The Russia thing was a minimal, if at all, issue.
Yeah. Well, that's not the story we hear, is it? I mean, well, it's not the story we hear almost every day. We hear completely the opposite, that it is the Russians who have engineered the election in favor of Trump. And what you two guests, my honorable guests, are saying, that's just not true. Listeners, will you ever be the same after listening to this program? I don't know. carry on.
Give that to Joseph Goebbels. Okay, that's a big lie that the Russians caused Donald Trump to be elected. It's a big lie.
Yeah. Tara, from the UK point of view, I mean, we in Russia, I'm in Russia, Art's in Russia, although he's suffering with pneumonia at home right now, not in the studio with me. But in the UK, are people sort of beginning to see through the narrative and kind of a little bit wake up a little bit and figure things out? Or are they sort of still there where they were a year ago?
Well, it's really hard to say at the moment. Also, in the UK, we have a lot of political turmoil, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, over Brexit, all sorts of internal issues, you know, immigration, so on. You know, so things. So it's really hard to say. I think the truth is that, and I think this is probably so for many people, Americans and Europeans, people aren't really that interested. Now, I don't think that's a pretty good thing, because in a way this allows the kind of narrative to be pushed.
Yeah.
You know, that Russia is enemy number one and so on and so on. So I think the truth is, for lots of people, it's just not particularly an issue. You know, we've also got all sorts of interesting developments in terms of an EU-America split over many things, as we know. So it's a very kind of fluid situation at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, but in the States, of course, this narrative is still very much the number one, isn't it? It still is. In Russia's very much in the crosshairs.
Well, this is the point.
Yeah.
You get 99% of the congressmen voted in favor of these draconian sanctions.
Yep.
Virtually unanimous. a big motivator, I won't say the only one, a big motivator was that the American politicians are hyperventilating, literally, over the fact that the Russians allegedly interfered with American democracy. Of course, it had nothing to do with gerrymandering and voter suppression.
Oh, dear. It's so funny if it wasn't so critically crucial and sad and depressing and non-democratic and everything else that we've said in this program today. But,
and this is a distraction. It's a distraction from real issues, John.
Yeah.
It's a distraction from the real issues.
Absolutely.
And what are the real issues? Quickly.
Absolutely.
Syria, Ukraine, North Korea.
Climate change.
Brexit.
How about? Yep. Can I throw that one in? Climate change.
Well, climate change is
and
a theoretical
domestic
issue.
Domestic issues in America as well. You know?
Yeah, and domestic issues. Okay, so
I've seen a few sort of tweets and so on of people going to town hall meetings with, you know, Democratic politicians who want to talk Russia, 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 whereas people on the floor want to talk, you know, jobs.
Right.
They want to talk healthcare. They want to talk immigration.
Yes.
Right.
They want to talk jobs.
Right.
Infrastructure.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
I think the three of us have actually broken through the glass ceiling in this program.
Yes.
Not the glass ceiling that Hillary Clinton wanted to break through, but the glass ceiling of perceptions and reality, and that politics, and particularly election kinds, are all about perceptions. Hillary Clinton didn't get it wrong. I think the three of us in this program, at last, thank you very much, Art and Tara, for being with me today. I think we've actually achieved something. We have achieved agreement that Hillary Clinton lost the election because she wasn't a good candidate, okay? You know, that's the reason. Not because of this Russia thing, you know, that's beside the point.
She was a good candidate. She was a very smart woman.
Yeah, she's a very smart woman, a good candidate,
very good,
but
technocrat, but not presidential material.
Thank you very much. Art Frances, President of the American Institute of Business and Economics in Moscow, and Dr. Tara McCormack, Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at the University of Leicester. And thank you very much indeed, listeners, for being with us today. I hope you learned something. It's up to you to decide. Goodbye.